This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Good afternoon, Mr. Mel.
Good afternoon.
Sorry about that.
It's a rainy day.
Yeah.
The flowers on the roundabouts as we drive through our city, that's what has an appeal, and it looks even better with the wet petals. It's a lot of work. Robert Clark from the Hamilton Film Society will be introducing the New Zealand International Film Festival, about to dazzle, amaze and entertain us. Yet these movies almost didn't make it to Hamilton this year, leaving cinema buffs the closest we could.
Yeah,
the closest that they could catch the films would have been to go to Tauranga and Auckland venues. How did that come about, Robert?
Well, this year the Film Festival Trust didn't actually want to screen any film festivals in the regions. They originally proposed an Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch and Dunedin festival. And the manager or owner of the Lido Cinema in Hamilton negotiated with them, as well as us, to try and bring the film festival to the regions, subject to funding being raised. And after a concerted effort, we did in fact get the funding, and here we are, we've got a film festival. I guess the most important thing at this point is that we actually do go to the movies at the film festival here, because if we don't, it'll make it a lot more difficult to get one next year. And also, if the film festival is very, very successful, we'll probably get more films and high-profile films, perhaps. Not that the films that we are showing are in any way deficient. It's just that, for example, Auckland is showing 90 films and we're apparently showing 30.
Yes, for a while we felt like castaways in Hamilton, stranded here, the people who think that films matter. If the New Zealand International Film Festival couldn't screen in Kirikiriroa, we'd have to commute by Te Huia, the rail service to Tamaki Makaurau, in time to see the screen light up at the earliest 10 a.m. That's the first screenings that are planned in the program. And that might have been either at the cinema in the ASB Waterfront Theatre in the Wynyard Quarter or in the Hollywood Avondale Theatre. How many more screenings does Auckland fit in of separate festival films? You said 90. That's a lot of films.
It is, but I think they're showing in two or three theatres as well, so they do actually have the space to show more. But, you know, if we do go to the films that we're offered and enjoy them, then it does make it easier to get more screenings here. We don't have the luxury of having more than one theatre, but we can fill three screens up for 3 weeks, 3-4 weeks quite adequately.
But it gives us a break from the mainstream, the war films and the other films that are mainstream, like going to Hoyts the other night, watching a Korean film about a cross-dressing airline pilot. it relieves boredom, Robert.
Well, it does, and entertaining films in terms of mainstream do have a place, but for some people they need something perhaps a little more thought-provoking or an opportunity to reflect on current events, perhaps from the perspective of the people who are actually experiencing it. I mean, for example, the Palestinian film No Other Land, which is showing in our film festival, is literally about the displacement of Palestinians, which is very topical at the moment, perhaps too topical and too raw, but someone brave did put that film out. So, you know, you can actually experience the feelings and attitudes of the people who are on the end of those conflicts and other social issues.
Demonstrating, in the case that you cited, a documentary approach.
It is, in fact. It's my one documentary that I've scheduled myself to see. I went through the program and came up with a list of about 10 films I wanted to see, and I had to limit myself a little bit. And the trouble is, every time I look at the program now, I see something else that I'd want to see. And
does it include those in another language?
I think actually there's probably only one or two films that actually are in English. We Were Dangerous, which is the opening film, a New Zealand film about the experiences of three young ladies who are essentially exiled to an island where they're sort of semi-incarcerated in a school for air quotes wayward children. Yeah.
Is this the movie that's starring Rimi Tiwiata?
Yes, that is.
That sold Ini Tiwata's daughter. So, yeah, no, I've seen the shorts of this. It seems a bit of a... What genre is it? Is it a horror movie or a comedy or...
It's not a horror movie. It's basically about the way that we were treating young ladies in that position. In New Zealand at that time, it touches on issues such as, you know, literally the treatment of them, and also something which diplomatically referred to as eugenics experiments, which the way the inmates are punished for misbehaving, and prompts the three protagonists in the film to plot their escape from the island, which I'm sort of like, you know, shades of Alcatraz, but we'll see what happens.
So that's We Were Dangerous, and that's screening on Wednesday, the 21st of August, 6 o'clock.
No, it's 7, I think.
Yeah, no. I actually picked up those programs when I was at the Lido about 2 weeks ago, and I just went through the line by line just to see what movies are playing all over New Zealand. If they want to have a, say, classic movie, a film noir or something like that, is there any film noir movies at the Fierce Festival?
Well, things do get a little bit dark in a vampire movie. It's called Humanist Vampire Seeks Suicidal Person, which it's a rather intriguing take on the whole vampire thing, because our protagonist is, once again, a young lady. We have a lot of those. But anyway, she... because of an experience at a birthday party in her younger life, has an aversion to killing humans, which, of course, she has to do by definition. Being a vampire, you have to suck blood, and that means killing people, and she doesn't want to. So she's been living off blood packets, and she hits upon the idea of finding a suicidal person and indulging them by way of that, essentially feeding. It's very dark, and it's showing, I think, at 8:30 on the 30, whichever the Friday is. Yeah. But the thing is, it's not a classic film noir, but it is very dark in tone.
Yeah, of course, this just shows that these directors and producers have got some really weird ideas when it comes to movie scripts. And
It's nice to see people exploring different themes in movies. I mean, we're used to the sort of, you know, classic 1940s, 50s slant on vampire films, you know, a la Christopher Lee. And some of the recent films have sort of explored some of the morality and side issues associated with that lifestyle, rather than just, you know, go the Buffy the Vampire Slayer route.
I know there's one movie, and it won't be showing in Hamilton, but it comes from the late 50s. It stars the Scottish ballet dancer Moira Shearer. It's called Peeping Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused a few headaches in Britain when it was first released, but it's at the festival, but it's not here in Hamilton. So it's sad, but it's a very strange movie, I believe. I don't know if you've seen it, but...
I did see it in my student days. I don't specifically remember what happened in it, but there are some darkish things going on.
On the lighter side,
we've
got a film that says evil does not exist.
It's actually a really fun movie. The basic plot is that you've got this quiet little town on the edges of Tokyo, and a couple of representatives of corporations show up, and they're trying to open a resort for glamping, i.e. glamorous camping, which basically sounds like camping for people who don't really want to camp. But it's about that village and the first, in the first instance, the life of the people in the village and the fact that they're coming to terms with this project. The two people who show up to convince them in a town meeting are very, very unconvincing, should we say, and there are quickly disadvantages to the plan that are pointed out. And in Shades of a German movie called The Educators, I think one of the corporate representatives actually ends up going over to the other side. And yeah, I won't spoil the ending for anyone who sees it, but it is a very good movie to be watching. It's apparently from the same director who directed Drive My Car, which is a three-hour-long Japanese movie about family life, who, that's not actually his longest movie. His longest movie is 5 hours and 18 minutes.
Oh, that didn't get that. Normally those types of movies, like in America, they used to cut.
Well, it's what American television refers to as a miniseries, right?
One that's been a winner at the Venice Film Festival is Green Border, and that involves the veteran Polish director
Agnieszka Holland.
I'm glad you pronounce it correctly.
Well, I admit I had to check YouTube, because sometimes those Eastern European names, they look formidable, but they have the occasional silent letter. It's about the border between Belarus and Poland, and thinking about the current migrant refugee crisis. So basically what happened is that the Belarusian president opened the border between Belarus and Poland as a way of flooding Europe, or rather the EU, with immigrants. And of course they weren't received with large amounts of affection and welcoming. But that was partly the idea, and this film looks from three perspectives at the migrant situation, with firstly the migrants, secondly, I think, the border guards, and I've forgotten what the third one is. But the point is, though, that these migrants cross the border one way, they get sent back, and then the opposite side sends them back, so they're sort of playing ping-pong.
No man's land.
Almost literally, yeah.
As we celebrate Robert Redford's birthday, today is 87 today, one of the founders of Sundance Film Festival. Is there any movies showing this time from the Sundance Film Festival?
Not that I know of explicitly, but probably we are. There are a lot of very good films, and they've been at various film festivals around the world, so I'm assuming Sundance would be represented, if not explicitly, but I assume the criteria for choosing the films for the festival doesn't actually involve considering which festivals as such they've been to.
So how many movies are you lining up to see?
I should see about 10, I think. Usually I'm constrained because I work during the day, but this year they've been very kind to me and put a lot of movies on at 6:15 and 7:30, so I'm like...
Okay, the prices, people listening to this, what are the prices? Can people use their gold cards to go to this festival?
There is a reduction for unwaged people, I understand. You'd have to check on the website. The prices themselves are actually less than you would pay for the screenings at the Hoyts. I think I'd actually checked a couple of weeks ago, and you can pay $35 to see a movie.
Yeah.
I think the adult price for the film festival, I think, is 22. So, yes, I acknowledge the fact that the prices are getting higher, but they're not actually as high as the mainstream ones, which is...
Yeah, and of course, at the Lido, you can have the reclining chairs in action, and you can also have a beverage, a coffee, or a drink, or an ice block, or an ice cream. So they'll all be there.
It's a very nice venue.
That film which you mentioned, Robert, that was between Belarus and Poland, evidently that guard finds himself torn between his conscience and the orders he's been tasked to carry out. And evidently, it's derived from the actual political clash between the European Union and Alexander Lukashenko, the authoritarian ruler of Belarus. That film is screening on Friday, the 30th of August at 1 o'clock, and on Sunday, the 1st of September at 7:45. Well, that's looking ahead to the spring months and so many films to get through, and no one's expected to see them one after another, surely.
No, though I do know some people who are seeing 20 films, but they have the luxury of being not being working people. I think when I was a student, I actually made the mistake of watching three subtitled films on the same day, and I actually felt exhausted after that. You do have the opportunity with multiple screenings to space them out a little bit.
Have you any particular insight into the film that's titled Head South, other than it involves Angus, a troubled teen whose eager-to-impress attitude means he suddenly finds himself as an opening musical act, despite only a very basic knowledge of bass playing and not actually having any bandmates?
Fish out of water tale, you know. They're always effective, and I'm assuming that Angus does actually do quite well. I'm not familiar with that film in particular, unfortunately.
The Irish come into another stage performance, an Irish hip-hop group, play themselves in this film entitled Kneecap. Mm-hmm. It's a sometimes outrageously anarchic tale that also offers a resonant clarion call to preserve indigenous languages. Mm. The moral underlying that film's creation. Well, it's many films, many topics.
Yeah.
What do you regard as the typical example of a film festival? Is there something that characterizes it that makes it different from the usual film fair?
Are you asking about film festival films or the actual festivals themselves?
Well, both aspects.
As I said earlier, that the films we see at the film festival and also the Hamilton Film Society sometimes encourage you to think about and explore themes relating to human nature. For example, you highlighted the border guard whose conscience is starting to bother him. One can just, it must really actually be quite awful. Or if you think in terms of the Coast Guards who monitor the Mediterranean, it must be quite heartbreaking for them in their own way to actually send people back to the country they left. Mainstream films, as I said, have a place. They entertain people. They provide an opportunity to, you know, relieve stress and just enjoy an evening after work or make a highlight for your weekend. The film festival films, they offer an opportunity to think about things in a more deeper way. Often the resolutions aren't easy, and often the films actually don't, they're open-ended. They don't provide a nice, tidy little ending that you can agree with or not. They just leave it open, and you've got to actually come to your own ending.
Which means it's open for a sequel, so there may be a sequel to that movie sometimes.
I don't think the social causes actually ever end, so consequently you can't have a sequel.
It seems that by associating with others of similar interests, that it leads on to other occasions when there's a social aspect, well, like the Hamilton Film Society quiz.
Mm. The quiz is always a fun experience. It's about an hour long, and we think about film questions and stuff. But in terms of socialisation, I mean, if you join the Hamilton Film Society, you have an opportunity every week between March and about November to socialise with people who, one, enjoy films of that quality, but two, they have such diverse opinions and beliefs, yeah, that you can have some very nice animated conversations after the film if you wish. And it was actually quite good for me to join a group of people who have an interest in film.
I'm interested in this movie quiz. This is a question set by our mutual friend, Dr. Richard Swainson.
I think they're set by Peter Farrell, who's the organiser.
Yeah. And of course, people love the chase. So these pop quizzes that pop up all the time, New Zealand loves the chase.
Yes, and that's on Sunday, the 31st of August, between 2 o'clock and 4 in the afternoon in the Lido Cinema foyer. We get this advance warning, so that if anyone wants to form a team, they can enter into the occasion.
Yeah. So thank you, Robert, for coming in. And it's around 85 years ago today that a certain movie debuted in New York City. The Judy Garland classic, MGM. And of course, it's The Wizard of Oz. 85 years ago, it premiered in New York. Judy doesn't want to sing to us, but 85 years ago today, I think there might have been a bit of dust on the album. So just talk among yourselves right at this present moment, and we'll get back to it right now. Music from the late Judy Garland, The Wizard of Oz, Over the Rainbow. It's 1:25. Just going back to this killing of the three dancers, 7, 6, and 9. The defendant is also charged with he's also charged with attempting to murder 8 girls plus another person, a businessman, who rushed in to help. This young guy may spend the rest of his life in prison. In Britain, they've got what they call life sentences, so he may never be released. Well, it's very unusual, but we've got a missing cat to talk about. A cry for help from our furry friend Louie, 4 months old, Tabby White, is missing from Marima Street in Frankton, in the Frankton Lake area. Please help get Louie home. Louie is a male Tabby White mix who has been missing while his owners were in hospital. He is a much loved pet and has been so missed. He's not microchipped, so if you have any information, ring or text Nikki with any info, 022-327-5779, 022-327-5779. Thanks, Dwayne, who is talking to the person, this missing cat, Louie the cat. Please come home. It's 1:26, back to 1960.
Yeah. Now this here's a story about the Battle of Waikato, which was fit between the British, of course, and the Hories, in which the British came off rather, excuse me, sir, what's that word? Ignominiously? That's it, ignominiously. Well, here's our guitarist, Jerry Marito, to tell you all about it.
In 1840, we all had to go, along with old Takuti, to the mighty Waikato. We took the little Puhar and we took the little Pope, and we caught some blooming horses, so we didn't have to walk. So we threw our spears, and the British kept a coming. They weren't alive any as they was a time ago, so we threw some more. They all began to run down to Tickawana to the mighty Waikato.
Yeah! Well, they fired their muskets till the barrels melted down, and they pounded our behinds until we rolled around the ground. They laughed so loudly that they all began to sing while we hid beneath the rata, and we never said a thing.
So we threw our spears and the British kept a coming. They were a many as there was a time ago, so we threw some more. They all began to run down to Tickawana to the mighty Waikato.
Surprise if they didn't fire their muskets till we looked them in the eyes. We stood quite still till we seen their faces well. Then we ran out and ate them and we really gave them
well. We threw our spears and the British kept a coming. There were a nine many as there was a time ago. So we threw some more. They all began to run down the Chickawana to the mighty Waikato.
The late Howard Morrison and the Quartet and the Battle of the Waikato. Talking about battles, a battle that has gone long and long, has it, Mel?
Oh, yes, that's right. A mournful photo appears in the pages of Waikato Times, reporting on the bruised feelings of citizens who favoured the pleasant walk through native bush that you, Margaret and Murray Shaw, created during your farming days. It came into collision with the Public Works Act. Engineers who said some of the land you treasured, along with the birds that attracted children, would have to go. That's the fate of Shaw's Bird Park. And the photograph in the Times also reveals the site as having metal fences, overgrown grass and weeds since they took it over. A portion of the property is in the designation for a new east-west road as part of the City Council's development of the Peacock area. I understand you're not living as you were before.
No.
Invite Murray Shaw to explain what's been happening.
Welcome back, Murray. It's been a while since you've been here.
It must be 2 years, is it?
Yeah, because last time we talked to you, I remember that you had the former CEO of the Hamilton City Council wandering around your property.
That's correct.
That's the last time we chatted about that.
Yes, that must be 2 years ago. We're still fighting. We're actually getting momentum. They have to pay us compensation under the Public Works Act, but I don't know whether we should start, because a lot of people now are younger coming through. We've been on the property 34 years. We started off rearing Carolina wood ducks, mandarins, and then we started the bird park in 2016. The Hamilton City Council wanted this road through our property. They could have moved it, even moved it 100 metres south. We would have saved the bird park and the 350 trees that were cut down. Now, these trees, well, we were paying $400 each planting them, and specimen trees, maples, oaks, kauri, all sorts. While we went to Rarotonga, this is the corruption of the Hamilton City Council. While we were in Rarotonga, this is only 3 months ago, Wilson's Trees and Landscaping trespassed onto our property and cut down. These trees are 20 to 30 years old. They cut them down and mulched them.
They would allege differently, wouldn't they, that they would have some entitlement, because there has to be some misunderstanding if two parties present in the same circumstances reach different conclusions as to who was justified, legitimate, in being where they were. We have to be careful. The courts have sometimes ruled that one party was mistaken.
Right. So because we've been fighting them, and yes, they have offered us compensation, $435,000 for 2 hectares. Now, where the corruption comes in is the fact that the valuers say it's a swamp. It is not swamp. It is perfectly good land. We could have put on 20 houses on that property that's been taken. Right, now let's go back to the Hamilton City Council taking the Peacock's land. They took it under betterment because they said the landowners with the land that's left would be better off with the increase in values. That would be true if you wait about 20, 30 years for the true valuation to come in. Most of those people on those blocks of land that they've taken portions of were elderly people, and so they were going to never get any betterment for that property. So that's the way they've done it, and then they put you into submission, like send 10 police and the paddy wagon onto my property, handcuff me, to take me down to the police station to get my fingerprints. Now, if they had have rung me on the phone, I would have driven there. But this is the corruption of putting you into submission. So this is what we've been fighting now for 10 years, and we're not giving up.
Good on you. I know you've got a lot of support, because I haven't seen them for a while, but there's two business ladies in Frankton, you probably know, and you've given them budgies, because one of them used to wander around the city with a budgie on her shoulder. You know the two ladies that I'm talking about. They really support you guys, yes. And you know who they are. And
yes, well, we had a submission up, the 70,000 signatures. We took those 70,000, well, it turns out it was 55 that went to the council. They honestly just threw them in the rubbish bin. So we want this to go back and start again. Under the Public Works Act, they have to work be transparent and work in good faith. The Hamilton City Council have never been like that, neither are Tonkin Wake, their solicitors. So we want to go back and start again. In 2007, somebody put a submission in, and cut and pasted our signatures. We have asked for the red ink or black ink of our signatures. They haven't got one. So this is the corruption. This is what they do. Then you have three mediation meetings. The second mediation we took into the Hamilton City Council. We wanted the councillors there, and we spoke with a solicitor we had then, Phil Lang, and we talked for half an hour, and the council said, all right, they'll discuss it and come back to us. We sat in the room there for 20 minutes. They came back and said they got more important things to talk about. That was a submission meeting. They didn't say anything. There was three of them. They were all just as bad as one another. Mm-hmm. Now, this is Public Works Act. They have to work in good faith, and they are not doing that.
Have you made submissions to your local MP? Who is your local MP?
That's the new one.
He's a minister.
Yes,
Hamelin West.
Yes. Look, we haven't done that, but it's too far gone now because Schick civil contractors are sitting on the roadside near waiting to start doing the roadworks. But we have trespassed them off the property and they cannot come on there until they sit down with us. We have written at least 10 letters to Lance Verrott from the Hamilton City Council saying we've got to sit down at the table and sort this out, but they don't reply.
It sounds very complex, very legal in its... You have different ideas about the way to go about determining the future of a project. One was an engineering aspect, which requires people of that expertise. They designate what should be, under the Public Works Act, the property taken. Naturally, unless you're being well rewarded, property owners would rather they make up their own minds what they do with their land.
Right. As you say, this is very complex. Right. Now, we didn't know that what was going on in 2014. Vinci's, a French multinational company, came into this country and has taken over all the roadings with Downers, and they are bridge builders and tunnel builders. And so they somehow have got the work for all this work, which is going to be probably another 5, 6, 7 years. And so they get it as of right. Now, this is where the corruption is. Now,
Before we start tarnishing the reputation of professional people who claim their expertise gives them the entitlement to do as they do, I think we should be cautious. The Defamation Act prevents us talking as openly as we might choose in private.
Well, you can go out. The signs are on the gates with Vinci's. Vinci's were a French multinational company, and they were thrown out of Nigeria. So we can go there. But all right, let's go back. So with the birds, so you want to go back and talk about the birds, how the dock came and did a dawn raid and took our native birds, and they said that they were in poor condition. Well, we wouldn't have 1,000... people coming through sometimes a day if we had birds that were poor condition, but they anaesthetised them.
It's sad to see an enterprise undone, and one that had been appreciated by the people who signed that petition.
That's right.
How long has this property been in your family's...
Just with Margaret and I, 34 years.
So you're not living on the property at the moment?
No, because of the stress that was put on Margaret and me. If I hadn't have gone to the Tamahere Country Village, I don't think Margaret would be here today.
You are concerned about the health of people who are not young, facing the dismantling of the dreams that you had when
That's
your
right.
own children were young.
That's right.
So you're getting a lot of you're getting a lot of support from Tamahere.
We don't talk about it now much. In fact, this is, besides sending submissions to Lance Verrott.
Yeah, and you've made new friends at where you're living at the moment.
Absolutely.
And you're joining in there all their games and dinners and all that.
Maybe you need a holiday. Have you put any thought into that, Margaret and Murray?
Well, let Margaret talk about our holidays.
Yeah, the Tamahere Country Club organises overseas trips and everything, so next Sunday we go to Tahiti with them and go on a cruise.
Oh, good stuff. You're looking forward to it.
Yes, I am. It's our second dream, to travel.
Would you like to come and tell us how it goes in Tahiti?
Yeah, definitely.
You'd be welcome in another program to do so.
Yep, no, that's all right.
We just want to get your stress levels reduced.
Yep.
And as you see, you're not getting any younger, but this Tahiti cruise, you'll have a ball of fun. And
we aim to.
And how long are you away for?
A fortnight.
A fortnight. Yeah. So when are you leaving? So
Sunday? Yes.
Okay. Do you feel that if you're away, something else will happen out on your property?
Probably. They wait till we're away. And that's what happened when we went on the other trip. They wait till we were away on that particular one.
And have they changed the locks or anything like that? Or any locks changed?
No, what they've done, they've fenced it off and everything, and we've got rentals there, and they've said we're supposed to put another driveway on our other land to get these two rentals out. They said they're going to lock the gates and they won't be able to come in and out.
Well, we can't say much more because it might head up into the court, so we just better be careful.
Yeah, no, that's all right.
Yep.
But going back, Paul, the Southgate, it's well documented in the papers that she said she would, and they wouldn't stop anyone walking through the park. Well, to go through the park now, you've got to go through locked gates and climb 3 meter high fences.
Yeah, it's just a sad case here in Hamilton with the council in such dire straits. Over $1 billion in debt, that they have to bring in lawyers, which are expensive, and you've got to bring in lawyers, which are also expensive. But, and this Works Act, how old is that Works Act that they're using?
The Public Works Act has been around for a long time, but the council are not abiding by the laws of the Public Works Act. They must, and listen, they're doing it now, on the new one to Piriri. They're buying the land off there now, paying full compensation, and also from Tauranga to Waihee, they're buying all the land. This is Transit New Zealand, or Wakikahu, I don't know how to spell it properly. They're buying the land. The people are moving on. Mm-hmm. But not with the Hamilton City Council. They took it under betterment, which is against the law.
Well, there's a man in Wellington called Simeon Brown. He's a minister, and I think this comes under his portfolio. So maybe you need to have contact with Simeon Brown in Wellington. So you just write him an email, and if it's not Simeon Brown, it'll be some other minister. But I'm thinking Simeon Brown, who looks after roads, he's going to fix the pothole. So maybe this comes under his portfolio too. So there's a man to contact.
Now we get a lot of support in Hamilton, City Watch, the Ratepayers Association, because people, do you realise that your rates are going to double in the next 4 years?
Are you in that area too, that maybe your area will get water meters too? Well, that's the plan.
We're already on a water meter. And by the way, if you people with houses in Hamilton that think that it's going to cost you a lot of money, at the moment we are paying $900 every quarter for water. Mm. We're on a meter.
Yes.
So advertise that either three or four times, because I think it's every 3 months or every 4 months. So I might be a bit there. But it's horrendous money.
Yeah. And you've also got to pay rates to the regional council. You've got a couple of councils too. What's the regional council thinking about this, or are they not getting involved?
I have stopped paying my rates to the Waikato Regional Council.
Yeah.
And they have not even sent us a letter back.
Yeah, it's the battles of the councils. And so, as you say, you've got support from people in town, and as I said, you've got support from those two businesswomen in Frankton. I haven't seen them for a while, but they're lovely, and every time I see them, they mention your name. So, and I've seen the budgie on the shoulder and all that. Go for it.
people wouldn't realise what the council, the corruption of the council.
Sorry, we've got to say alleged corruption. Sorry,
corruption. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
No. It's only because we're in the situation that we see what's happening. And, you know, they say that we have been working, they've been working with us all the way through, which is not true. We tried, they put things in the paper, and some of it's true, but some of it's not. And we try and get a reply to Jonathan McKenzie, and he said, no, you can't have, you've had enough and everything. And we write letters to the council, and they do not reply. They say they're working with us all the time, and if they did, we wouldn't be in this situation. Sit down, talk to us, and we can talk it through. Then we wouldn't be in the situation we are.
Well, we'll leave it here at the moment because we've got a couple more guests before we go. It's 2 o'clock. But go and enjoy your trip to Tahiti. Come back relaxed, sunburnt, and coming back and talk to us and give us the latest details on what is going to go on in the months to come. And I hope there is some situation that can be worked out, because we don't want you to see you losing a property that you've been nurturing for many, many years. How many years?
34 years.
So just
counsel, just talk to us, communicate, and we can sit down and work it out, and we don't have to go through this for the last 10 years.
You don't want to go back to court.
No.
Oh, we will go back to court if we have to.
Anyway, guys, enjoy your trip to Tahiti. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Sunday afternoon.
Funny, but it's true. What loneliness can do. Since I've been away, I have loved you more each day. Walking back to happiness.
Who is Tim Walz, 60 years old, Governor of Minnesota, former U.S. National Guard member and teacher. In 2006, he was elected to an unusually Republican district in Minnesota and was re-elected 4 times in 2018. He was elected governor and re-elected in 2022. So maybe by the end of the year, he may be the Vice President of the United States. We'll talk. I think we've got Gary Schofield. Hello, Gary.
Yes, how are you doing? And good to talk to you. And indeed, that could well be the case. But before I work on all this very comprehensive international affairs that I've prepared for you, and we yes. don't have much time, I just thought I would make a little announcement for my friends Bruce and Mel. And you'll be familiar with Arlington National yes. Cemetery. It's one of the most profound, one of the most sacred and revered places in all, well, Washington, D.C., and yes. all of the United States. It's where presidents are buried. It's where those heroes from World War II, actually going right back to the Civil War, rest, men and women who have sacrificed their lives for the country. And they have 4 to 5 million visitors a year. They have chosen my work, which is work I did 16 years ago of the honor guard at McClellan Arch at Arlington Cemetery, for their official gift. So my son Stuart, and you'll know him well,
yes.
He delivered those just the other day, and he went there and they gave him for the service of that, for well, it's not really a medal, but it's much larger than a coin, but their official coin.
Yep.
For that, so that's quite quite a life achievement to have done.
Yep. One of presidents, Gary, of course, is JFK, and yep. he's got an eternal flame. Did they move his grave sometime in the last 20 years or so?
There are some conspiracy theories that they moved his body and the autopsy, but that's a separate issue. No, I do not believe they moved his grave.
Yes, no. I've seen photographs of the eternal flame.
Yes.
And, of course, his wife Jackie is buried with them.
Yes.
And also buried with them is their unborn child who was stillborn.
Sounds like you've been there.
No, I do move.
All research.
I do all. I am trying to beat these conspiracy theorists, because I've been given a whole lot of rubbish this week over what's happening in the UK with the rioting and who's to blame for it. Yeah, no. And I think my late aunt, on her visit to the United States, went to Arlington National Cemetery to see that. And I've seen a slide of that internal flame. It's
at the Unknown Soldier. It is perpetually guarded. It yep. is something quite breathtaking to see. In all weathers, they go out with precision detail and they measure it in their mind
yep.
to the split second to have it synchronized.
Well,
it's amazing to see.
Give our congratulations to Stuart.
I will. And just to answer your question too, yes, we all want to know about Tim Walz, but we want to know more about Ms. Harris herself. After all, she hasn't given an interview. So it would be good for the sake of democracy that we got an insight into her governance strategies, her as a person,
yeah.
one-on-one. That's what the news media yep. do best. It's part of our democratic process.
Yep.
And we're waiting to see that and learn more about her and her governance.
And finally, did you see the interview between Elon Musk and Donald Trump?
I didn't see it because, unfortunately, it was hacked, I think. But I did hear it. I did hear some of it. Yes, I did. And it went on for a long time. But I think, you know, in today's podcast, it opens a wonderful window to be able to have long discussions with our politicians. So, again, I herald that. If we could have that with Kamala, too, that
yep.
would be terrific.
And I hear that Donald Trump sounded like Daffy Duck. The reception was so bad.
He might have had a tooth problem or something, you know, to explain that. I don't know the details. But again, substance is more important than just the veneer or the impression or the theatre that you create.
Anyway, congratulations to you, and we'll speak again next week.
Look forward to that.
It's a pleasure. There we are, our American New Zealand correspondent, Gary Schofield. Good afternoon, Dwayne Porter.
Yeah, good afternoon, Trips.
How's the thing going with you?
Very, very good.
Right. The floor is open. Go for it.
Okay. Last week I got some information arrived from the Jaranga police about the cars being destroyed, stolen and being caught by fire. These sorts of the models have been abandoned were a Hellman Avengers, Mitsubishi Tritias, BMWs, Toyota Celicas, Jaguars, Mitsi, Tribute, Ford Capris, Hillman Hunters, a Ford Isuzu F-Series truck, and tractors and hay balers. This is what they have caught so far of people that been stealing vehicles and been going on farms and catching and torching them. And that's like, there's about 65% of Toyotas over in Bay of Plenty at the moment have been stolen.
I'm interested in the hay baler. Who would steal a hay baler? Huh?
They went on the farm. They went on the farm and torched it.
Oh.
Because they, what is, the way I read it was that the guy owed money on it. Was supposed to be repossessed.
So are you sure the farmer didn't do it himself?
No.
How's the vendetta?
Well, the farmer was desperate to try and get rid of it, so he needed a new one. That's how he might have done it. But hey, you know, but there's still more coming out next week. I've got a big list. But as I say, Toyota Celicas is the main possible of what they are stealing at the moment. Even Toyota Acras, even Ford Caprice, even Ford Cortina.
Anyway, thank you for your information, Trevor. Trevor's talk.
Good afternoon, everyone. Three cyclists I've seen this week. Yes. Two of them at 2 o'clock in the morning. dressed in black with a black hoodie, no lights and no helmet. So this brings to point my discussion today. I got my rate demand this week.
Ooh.
They're so high I could have got 4 new tyres, a warrant of fitness and a service check, and still have money left over by the time I paid for my rates.
Yeah.
But what got me was a bit of a letter inside, a sort of a leaflet, explaining, trying to justify the increase in rates. But what they was putting down is what councils do anyway, like rubbish collection, keeping parks and lawns mowed and all that sort of thing. That wouldn't justify a huge increase. We all know the real reason is that the Founders Theatre had been demolished. This was a perfectly good theatre, and a new one being built down by the river for millions of dollars, and plus millions of dollars spent upgrading the museum was, in my opinion, having been there, it was in good condition.
Yeah, no, I don't know whether you heard the early part of Murray Shaw from the Bird Park, and you're probably on route here, but he is now refusing to pay rates to the Waikato Regional Council, and he's been in battle with the Hamilton City Council over his property being taken to build a road and a bridge, etc., on Peacock Road. So
that
story is going to carry on, yes. Hey, we are running out of time, Trevor, but thanks for your comment this Sunday afternoon. And this week also, in between the news, I've been listening to a lot of music and some an a cappella from the Harvard Crocodillos and the Harvard Gin and Tonics. And one of the songs that the Harvard Crocodillos have been doing is from The Jungle Book, the Disney movie from 1967. This is it.
Now I'm the king of the swingers, oh, the jungle VIP. I've reached the top and had to stop, and that's what's bothering me. I want to be a man cub, and stroll right into town, and be just like the other men. I'm tired of walking around. Oh, ooby-doo, I want to be like you.
Hop-dee-ooby-doo-ba.
I want to walk like you.
Cheep.
Talk like you.
Cheep.
Too.
Weepy-dee-be-doo-ba.
You'll see it's true.
Shoopity-doo.
An ape like me.
Scooby-dooby-dooby.
Can learn to be human too.
Talking about music, Harmony Waikato is next. Derek's in the house. I think Peter's here too, so catch you next week. Ta-da!
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.